It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff and Gina are here. We'll talk about the new Amazon phone and take a look ahead to what Google will be announcing at Google I.O. next week. This Week in Google is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 254, recorded June 18th, 2014. I'm not a dingo. This Week in Google is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIG. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 300,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/twig to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we cover Google, the cloud, Facebook, Twitter, everything, you know, in that, I don't know what you call that, that category. Kind of the cloudy, socially...
The future.
Future thingy. That's Jeff Jarvis. He's professor of journalism at the City University of New York, who is proud to say he is tenured. I saw your tweet. They can't get rid of me. I'm tenured. He's also the author of Public Parts, his latest book, blogs at buzzmachine.com. Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Thanks for being patient. We're a little late today because of the Amazon announcement. We'll talk about the Fire Phone in just a second. Also here, of course, host of All About Android, creator of ThinkUp at ThinkUp.com, Gina Trapani, founding editor at Lifehacker. Hi, Gina.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to see you. Now, did you last night on All About Android, did you kind of speculate about what Amazon might be up to with their new phone? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday it was going to be an AT&T exclusive. So we talked about that a little bit. I mean, honestly... Not yesterday, but we had heard kind of rumors of maybe like some sort of Amazon Prime data plan that didn't really come to fruition, right? It's just kind of a standard 2-year contract with AT&T, right?
Yeah, it's very standard. You know, the only deal is if you're a Prime member, you get a year of Prime free, which is like a $99 discount.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's something. I thought it was going to be a little bit more Prime-oriented. Like, the phone is free if you get Prime, or you get some sort of special data plan that's Amazon. I don't know. My imagination kind of gone wild with that a little bit, because I think there's room for a lot of innovation around contracts and, you know, the way that carriers work here in the U.S. is, you know, so awful. I was thinking, well, Amazon's really going to, you know, they're going to draw in Prime members and they're going to offer something, you know, we haven't seen before. So they didn't with the carrier situation. It didn't feel that way. You do get that Prime discount. But
it's pretty much, in fact, I think Paul Theron observed this, a testament to the power of the carriers.
That was an interesting comment. It's true.
Yeah, you can't do a Nexus phone anymore. You know, you have to have a carrier. Even Amazon doesn't have enough market clout to do it, to go its own way.
What's a WhisperNet? Is that?
That's the way that you can be listening to the book, and then it syncs with when you read.
No, that's WhisperSync.
Oh,
so WhisperNet.
WhisperNet.
I'm sorry. You're right.
The network.
So when Amazon first came out with the Kindle, you may remember they offered unlimited lifetime 3G connections. So you could download your book anytime, anywhere. Originally, it was with Sprint. But of late,
there was no Wi-Fi, indeed.
There was no Wi-Fi, right. Now it's with AT&T. So it's basically internet access on the Kindles. It was originally on like the basic, you know, e-ink Kindle.
Right. So yeah. I had sort of thought, oh, maybe WhisperNet, you know, I don't know what network that is. If that's
it's AT&T.
Like, it's AT&T in the
but
back
it's 3G,
end.
It's 3G, yeah.
You know, maybe Amazon will give free access to Amazon.com, but we didn't really see that.
You know, I had kind of given up on that because they didn't do it with the Fire TV. That's 99 bucks. They haven't subsidized anything. I guess the Kindle HDX, the Kindle Fire tablets are less expensive, but they're roughly Nexus 7 pricing. They're not wildly inexpensive. Amazon has always said, hey, we don't have to make money on the device. We make money when you use it. But apparently they've decided to make money on both sides now. Because that's an expensive phone. It's $650 unsubsidized for the 32 gig version, $750 for the 64 gig version. It'll be shipping July 25th, in 5 weeks. But there are some interesting things, and I think for this crowd, the most interesting thing is this is an Android phone, but at this point, at this point, I would propose that we can now say, they call it Fire OS 3.5, that there is a fourth, major mobile OS. You've got iOS, you've got Android, you've got Windows Phone, and now I think you can safely say that Fire OS
it's certainly
is its
not
own
Android,
thing.
And you can't. It's you not can't skinned use the Play Store. You
no.
can't.
Yeah, and it's not skinned Android. It's not like TouchWiz or Sense. It's
amputated Android.
Yeah, you would. I mean, you wouldn't. They don't mention Android. The only time they use the word
they do on the page.
Yeah, they use it once.
It starts with Android.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's a departure for them. They never said that with the Kindle Fire
tablets.
And
that paragraph about the OS 3.5 or whatever
starts with Android. I think that's for developers to say, look, your Android app is going to work on this stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely about developers. Yeah, I mean, there's Google Android, and then there's Fire OS. I think that Fire OS is a very legitimate and will be very widespread Android fork. I mean, I think it's legitimate to call it a fork.
Yeah, it's right? a fork. It's definitely a fork. Mm-hmm. It's a fork of what? What code did they start with? 422?
AOSP. I'm not sure what version. But, I mean, they're the first company to sort of successfully, or build an entire proprietary layer, right, on top of the AOSP to replace Google services. That's where Google's competing, right, with Google services and Play services right. and the Play Store and all those things. So it makes me happy because it's like, oh, yes, Android truly is open. There is an opportunity here. I mean, I think a lot of people for a long time said Android isn't really open. There actually
Good
isn't
point.
An opportunity. Nobody would ever start from Android and build their own thing. They would just start from scratch. Well, we don't need to start from scratch anymore. The operating system is built. Now it's about the services and the cloud APIs.
And in fact,
the kind of interesting part.
Amazon is one of the few companies with enough size, clout, and money to provide those services itself. It looks like, in fact, we know this now, it's licensed the Nokia Here Maps for the Maps. And those are actually arguably as good as Google Maps, if not better. I think they're very good. So that's where it's getting its maps. What other you don't have a Play Store because for a long time Amazon has done its own store, 200,000 apps in their store.
Yeah, the App Store.
They can even argue it's more curated than the Play Store, right? It's smaller.
Of course, those apps don't have access to Google Play games, Google Play right. services, nope. which that's the part of the Google experience. But yeah, I mean, I uploaded my app to the Amazon App Store. My sales are not nearly what they are on the Play Store.
Oh, that's interesting.
But yeah, it's there.
How hard Amazon, was it? What did it involve to get is it to-do.txt you're talking about?
Yeah, to-do.txt. Yep. Well, my app is pretty simple and doesn't interact with any of the Google APIs, the proprietary Google APIs. It interacts, of course, with the Dropbox API, uses the Android SDK for Dropbox, which is, available for free from Dropbox. And so submitting it to the Amazon App Store, I didn't have to make any modifications. It's the same exact APK that I uploaded to the Google Play Store. There's a review process. It took some time for them to review it and get back to me. And in fact, at one point, one of my versions, I've uploaded several versions at this point, got stuck in the review queue for a really long time. I had to kind of get in touch and nudge them. I don't know what happened. It fell down a hole or something. But that's really the main difference is that there's a review process and the sales are not as high, right? As in the Play Store. With the Play Store, you upload it and the binary just goes. Well, it takes some time for the Play Store cache to clear, but you're talking about a few hours. Amazon has contacted me quite a few times asking if I wanted to make my app the free app of the day because they do a bunch of free apps. My app is whatever, $2, which was nice and flattering. I turned them down because I was like, hey, if I wanted to give this away for free, I would have just set the price tag to zero.
What are the terms of that? They don't give you any money. Free is free for that week or whatever.
Free is free.
Day, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, free is free.
Oh, interesting. And but you can turn them down.
Yeah, you can. You can. You just say, no thanks. You have to agree, obviously.
So they don't. They lose maps, but apparently they have the API, the 1.0 API available if you wanted to use maps. So if you wanted to use a map in to-do.txt, you'd have to use the 1.0 API, but you could call the Here Maps using that.
Mm-hmm.
You lose messaging, which means you lose Hangouts, you lose voice. Mm-hmm. That may be more significant, right?
I mean, not really, because I mean, Android just has these hooks in to share or to, or, you know, there's the generic hooks where it's like, here's a web page, you click on it. If you have multiple browsers installed, it's like, hey, what's, you know, what right. default app do you want to use? If you don't, I mean, if there's, you know, there are generic hooks to invoke the dialer or whatever version of Android you're running. Of course, Hangouts is proprietary, but I think with Android's intents and the share menu, if your app isn't too embedded into the Google ecosystem, if you're not using Google Play Games and leaderboards and Google Maps specifically, you can build a pretty generic Android app that just hooks into the low level system APIs that let you customize it from, no matter what layer you're in. Of course, Google's making this harder to do, right? Because their proprietary services are increasingly more attractive.
What do you lose? What is it that you, what is it?
Updates.
That, yeah, you your Amazon now, it's incumbent on them to keep the OS up to date. But yeah, I mean, right. they significantly changed it, so that's not a surprise.
Yeah, but I mean, the mapping, if you're building a game, Google Play Games is great. You get to get leaderboards right. and achievements, and you get the social connections.
But Amazon has an equivalent, don't they? They have an Amazon game.
I'm not sure, do they?
I think so. I don't remember.
I don't think no. to the extent, and Google's only going to make this more. We have another story on the rundown. Google Fit is going to be a big thing, and it'll probably it sounds like it'll operate a lot like Google Play Games, where it's a platform for fitness apps to talk to it versus just the fitness app in it of itself.
The Amazon phone doesn't have Bluetooth LE. I saw.
Yeah, no Bluetooth 4. It's Bluetooth 3. It has NFC. That's good, but it doesn't have Bluetooth LE. That's a little bit of a surprise. But what it does have, there are a couple of things I find very interesting. One is this Firefly button, a physical button on the side of the phone. When you press it, within 1 second, the camera is launched. And much like Google's goggles, you can point it at stuff and it will be identified. I mean, obviously the first intent is that you point it at a product and it not only identifies it, but I presume brings up Amazon's page for it so you can buy
right.
it.
So if we hear Google screamed out about using their market position and blah, 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 every retailer in the country.
Can you imagine how Best Buy is worried about this?
Oh, because, we all do it now. I mean, I go to the bookstore and I shoot it because I also don't have Nook. I have
right.
Kindle.
They can identify paintings. They showed Renaissance paintings. If it sees a phone number on a sign, it will give you the number and it'll give you a chance to dial it. So as you're driving by a real estate sign, you could point the phone at it and Firefly the number and call.
That's going to be easy for everybody else to catch up on, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that is going to be software. Easy. I mean, it's great, but yeah, that's software. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Google bought WordLens, remember, the mm-hmm. automatic exactly. translation software. Yeah, I mean, I feel like these are features that Google's had with goggles. Almost every
but it's
one of these.
Not a button away, but yeah.
But Google doesn't sell merchandise, so although they are starting to do deals, aren't they, with people like Best Buy for delivery? Mm-hmm. Maybe this pushes Google ahead on that process.
But I'm waiting for the story. It'll come out soon. Some store somewhere will try to ban use of phones while you're shopping.
Oh, everyone will. If I were Best Buy, I'd immediately say, you may not bring this thing in here. Showrooming is the term, right? Where you go in.
Well, except Best. No, but you go. Have you been in Best Buy lately?
Yeah, no, you might as well buy it online. There's nobody here.
It's all marketing yeah. space yeah. for Samsung and Microsoft right. and Google.
Right.
That's how they're making the money now.
Now, somebody said, and this is interesting, that the payment API is easier to use for Amazon than it is for Google. So Google goes through the wallet. Amazon, obviously, everybody who has an Amazon phone has a credit card with them.
Yes. That hadn't occurred to me, but that is probably absolutely true.
And Amazon made a big point about having an SDK for Firefly so that your app, even Best Buy, could write an app that says, hey, take a picture of it and then order it from Best Buy.
Right. Yep.
I immediately ordered one, of course, because it's my job. But I'm very intrigued by it. It has an excellent camera.
I have no desire. I'm put a gadget in front of me, and I'll and ring a bell, and I'll start salivating. But
nothing. Now, by the way, it wasn't 3D. I think it was widely misreported as 3D. The phone does not have 3D. It has what they call dynamic perspective. Four cameras on the front and the four corners. that know where your head is, not only angle and position in front of it, but how far away, the Z axis, how far away it is. And then based on that, they can modify the image so that you can look around columns. You can kind of look around by just moving your head. This is of limited appeal, it seems, although they did show a game that apparently uses it. Again, another product that has an API. You know what I think is very interesting? Have you ever used the Mayday feature on your Kindle?
I
don't really use the Kindle. I use Kindle app on my right. Nexus 7.
So I have. Yeah. I use it on the Fire HDX. You press a button.
And you get lonely?
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of people who are lonely call this. You within 15 seconds, actually, the average time Amazon released this last week is 9.75 seconds. A person will answer. You'll see a video of them. They'll see a video of you. They can control your device, at least on the Kindle Fire HDX. They can control your device. I presume it'll be the same on the Fire phone. They can help you. AT&T says they'll also have the ability to transfer you to AT&T if you need customer service on your phone, you know, with the network. We were talking on our launch, and Mike Elgin said they probably will have emergency services as well, right? It's like calling 911. This Mayday button, I think, is a selling point for first-time
smartphone buyers. Oh, I can't imagine they'd want that liability. Oh.
What if you call them up and you're bleeding from the head and you say, help me? What are they going to do, hang up on you, Jeff? They absolutely have that liability.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Oof.
All of the Mayday examples that I've seen have been pretty softball questions about, like, how to use the Amazon. But what if somebody, like, I mean, I'm trying to imagine my mom. You know, I feel like my mom, not to use my mom as an example, such a terrible example. All right,
my mom.
Goes Mayday. Hi, I saw this commercial where somebody pointed their phone up at the sky and could see what stars there were. Like, how do I do that? I feel like the questions would be really broad, or like, is there any way that I can, you know, listen to the monk singing in Italy, right? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, there would be very broad questions. So is Mayday like general tech support?
Well, it's not supposed to be, but like a concierge service, you mean?
Yeah.
Not supposed to be, but no, I can see them. They built the infrastructure. Why wouldn't they have the ability to book hotels and answer questions? You know, I'm trying to find the article. I read a nice article recently.
Yeah, you know, supposedly I have that, you know, with various credit cards. I don't use it.
Yeah, you can call your American Express concierge service.
Somehow I can see how well that's going to work.
I feel like this there could be a lot here.
Say Jeff is having trouble signing into his two Google accounts. Could you Mayday that?
Not specifically, but yeah, something like that.
You had to remind me, Gina.
Sorry.
there was a really good article I read. And it was like Mayday people have gotten customer reps have gotten marriage proposals.
I'm still a little creeped out. That guy in the commercial remember creeped us out.
The woman did, because he's like hitting macking on her, and she's going, aww. And by the way, she appeared again in the slide deck that Jeff Bezos showed today. Yeah. I really want to find this example. Amazon, obviously preparing for this last week, published a lot of stuff about Mayday, and among other things, some examples of the kinds of things. And it seemed like it was a very broad range. I can't open this jar. Could you help me? Probably not.
Well, of course, that's going to lead to a whole list of videos of people trying to push Mayday to its limit.
Well, we thought that when it came out on the Kindle Fire HDX, and that didn't happen. I thought there'd be a lot of that.
But now you can record it easier on your phone.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I think this is what I'm most interested about is that they now have an OS. Somebody in the chat room said, and I think this is fairly accurate, Fire OS is to Android what Apple is to Unix. Android is the underpinnings, but you don't see Android. It's not a skin. It's an entire interface.
And MS-DOS was to CPM.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a launching pad that can go off on its own. It can go off on its own and
here it is.
Whatever it is.
Thank you. Jason Clanthus, F. and Dunn in our chat room, sent me this CNET article that came out a month ago. The Mayday button. Amazon reveals craziest Mayday customer support calls. This actually was in a letter to shareholders. Marriage proposals, request to speak with Amy, the redhead we talked about. Is Amy there? No, she went home. 35 marriage proposals, 475 requests to talk to Amy, 109 requests from customers needing assistance with ordering a pizza, and they don't hang up on you. By a slim margin, Jeff Bezos writes, Pizza Hut wins customer preference over Domino's. 44 instances when the Mayday tech advisor sang happy birthday to the customer. 648 instances when the customer sang a song to the Mayday tech advisor. I can see that they must log this. A customer sang me a song. It was bad.
I need this last one for bedtime.
Three customer requests for a bedtime story.
So I'm looking at Google Play Services. Here's the advantage that Google has over Amazon. They've been working with Android longer, and they have a head start. And the truth is that Google leads development on AOSP. Google Play Services has a lot of stuff now. I mean, granted, while it may be not as strong as Amazon's commerce tools, but you've got Maps and location and Google Plus, which is like sign in with Google very quickly. You've got ads. In-app billing, cloud messaging, just distribution through the Google Play Store, games. I mean, there's, mobile ads. There's a lot here. And, I mean, Amazon has a lot of things that match, right? They've got cloud storage that matches Drive. They've got, I wouldn't be surprised at all, if their e-commerce solution, their quick pay SDKs are much better than Google's. But I don't know. Google's been doing this for a while. I mean, even just something like Google Cloud Messaging, which makes it easier to send push notifications. I mean, that's something that a lot of apps probably use.
But who has better cloud infrastructure, Google or Amazon? I could argue that Amazon has been way ahead of Google in terms of public
services.
Public cloud services, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that, for sure.
This is exciting. No, because competition's good. To have
it is.
Who would have thought at this late stage in mobile phones we would have a new OS.
True.
And Amazon's played this perfectly.
Amazon has won.
Well, Amazon's played it perfectly because they started the App Store a few years ago. You know, it's been clear they've been building up to this.
Yeah. But it does,
I wish
you made a comment.
I wish they'd been. Go ahead.
Sorry, Jeff.
Go ahead, Gio.
No, you go.
Ladies first.
Leo was making the comment during your live coverage that this is like a battle of the I forget what word that you use, but ecosystems. Yeah. I mean, as a consumer, you almost kind of have to make this decision. Like, am I a Google person?
Am I an Apple person?
Am I an Amazon person, or am I a Windows person?
And there's lock-in, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, right? Because it's just because you know, especially with these devices, it's like I either have all the Google services or I have all the Amazon services, but not both.
Right.
And it
I
feels
could
a little
have
bit
Chrome
like,
anywhere.
True. It feels
Chrome
a lot like Mac or PC, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like we're harkening back to, like, are you Mac or PC time?
It is.
I think you're right, generally, but I think there's a few leaks in that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I thought this with the Amazon Fire TV, too. It's really clear now. Apple, Microsoft, Google, and Amazon, the four horsemen, right?
Yep.
Are very much creating their own siloed, as best they can, ecosystems. They don't.
That's too bad.
In a sense, that's too. I mean, it's choice, but it's kind of not an open choice, which is a shame. I agree with you.
Because I'm still frustrated I can't use Skype on my Chromebook, for example.
But isn't Google's the most open ecosystem of them all?
Yes.
Because you can use the Amazon App Store on Google on Android.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah.
But you make a good point that on your Chromebook, at least, you can't use Skype. Although, I suppose Microsoft could decide to do a Chrome plugin for Skype. That's merely more Microsoft's choice. Google wouldn't stop them from doing that, right?
Doing a Chrome app, a Skype Chrome app?
Right. Nothing to stop them from doing that. So I think Google has at least a bias in favor of open.
Yes.
That Apple does not have. Microsoft's, oddly enough, historically not had and is moving more towards. We were talking about this on Windows Weekly, that this is very uncharacteristic, but they released the iPad version of Office before they release the Surface version. They've really kind of said we're going to be cross-platform. So Microsoft may be moving in that direction, but Amazon's never going to move in that. Amazon knows what its business is.
And Google, you know, Google's strategy was, that was the entire Amazon strategy was opening it up. And,
right,
you know, you could say that Amazon used it against them. But you know, so here's a different question then. How, if you're Google, how do you exploit what Amazon has just done?
Well, you do one thing that does is just as Gina said, it confirms what you've said all along, Android is open. That lets you off a lot, it lets you off the hook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that anybody, maybe Amazon has made a mistake by offering SDKs for Firefly, its purchasing technology, and for the dynamic perspective. See, the problem with the dynamic perspective is no other phone can do it, or can it? I don't know. It's just a GPU accelerated thing, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. But likely it's just for that phone right now.
Yeah, and nobody's going to cross-platform that or want to do it, frankly. It's not interesting enough to want to make it on the iPhone. iPhone could do it for sure.
It multiplies fragmentation a little bit from the developer side. It's like, oh, I'm going to compile this APK, talks to these SDKs for Amazon. I'm going to compile one for Google. I'm going to compile one for whatever.
To go through approval processes for all of them too.
Right. Well, just Amazon right now. Yes.
But it wasn't onerous, was it? Did they?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's that you upload it. And you say, hey, you know, you check the box, send me an email when my results are back. And then you get an automated email a couple of days later. I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, it makes it difficult to plan a launch. I mean, whatever, I'm a small indie developer. It's just, this is a weekend project. But it makes it a little harder to sort of plan a launch. And you have to kind of get ahead of it.
How long before Amazon releases its own language that's not that's proprietary?
Jesus.
Like Apple did. All right, let's talk. So, okay. The other shoe is going to drop, though. Next week, it's Google I.O.
Right.
Yeah.
And Google, this has been a wonderful month for those of us who cover technology. We've had so much to see and hear and play with. And Google gets the last word. Nice timing, Google.
It's true.
Is it good or are they rushing to match a feature announcement today? Or?
I would think not.
No.
But they're certainly going to get to say, they're going to get to respond. And I imagine we'll respond with some things that only Android Open Handset Alliance can do. Like, for instance, this health thing.
Yeah, and look, Google's going to tout, and they would have done this anyway. They're going to tout the distribution power of the Play Store. I mean, they're going to talk about how many billions of downloads, how many active users. They're going to talk about how many of those users, I think it's over 70% now, are KitKat or Jelly Bean. So the fragmentation problem is basically, you know,
no more toxic health stew.
Mm-hmm. Right. No more toxic health stew. Right. Exactly. Yeah. At this point, they're not racing to answer with any features, but they can certainly just tweak their slides to address any of this stuff. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything here that Google is even going to. I'll be surprised, actually, if they address Amazon at all during the keynote. We should start some bets.
Yeah, really. We have a bingo sheet anyway.
Drinking game, yeah.
So you two are going to be there. You're going to be in the room, and then we'll do This Week in Google. After the keynote ends, you'll drive up here, Jeff with his eyes tightly closed, and we'll do the show from here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody that we use normally who covers Google is at the event. So I'm going to be all alone here covering it live. They are live streaming it. We'll cover it. The live stream. I'm sure Mike Elgin. No, he's going to be there too.
Jesus.
I think we got Matthew Ingram, right?
You might want to ask Ron because he didn't get in.
Okay, we'll
Ron
get
Richards
Ron.
Richards from All About Android.
There you go.
Uh-huh. He'd be great.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Ron Richards, Matthew Ingram, and me. The three people who didn't get invited to Google I.O.
he has a day job, so I don't know. Ask him.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a job. Yeah, you tell me. Anyway, we'll be covering that. Is that next week?
It's next week.
Yeah.
We're going to be sitting there in person next week.
I'm flying to San Francisco tomorrow for a World Economic Forum event on Friday, flying back on Saturday. Ooh, weird sunlight. And then flying back on Tuesday to be there for I.O. and then back on Friday.
What?
And you want to stay the weekend and be on Twitter?
Do you know the flight attendants? I'm like, do they say, oh, hey, Jeff,
I ran into one my last flight from Berlin. I know you.
Hey, Jeff. You're on the red eye, huh? You're starting to remind me a little bit of Don Draper here, going back and forth and back and forth.
Or what's his name? What was the great flight movie, the frequent flyer movie? I am Global Services.
You
I
are.
Global I'm that services. Obnoxious prick.
Oh, George Clooney. It was the one
up in the air.
Up in the air was firing people, right?
So everybody on United now is lined up in these five humongous lines.
Not you. You're that.
I do anyway because I'm neurotic. But first, you know, injured people and then me.
So
excuse me. And I go to the front of the line. It's obnoxious and horrible, but I love it.
One thing we'll see at Google I.O., a response to CarPlay, Apple's technology that puts iPhones in the car. Automotive News says, we don't usually report scoops by Automotive News. This is a first. I'm excited. Automotive News says three sources tell it that Google will unveil its first in-car operating system next week at I.O. Known internally as Google Auto Link, it'll be the first project to emerge from the Open Automotive Alliance. This is a Google-led consortium that includes Audi, General Motors, Honda, Hyundai, and NVIDIA, which I guess makes the chips for the whole thing. It is not an embedded infotainment system. In fact, my Audi has that right now. It's QNX, which BlackBerry owns. But it will be much more like what Apple's doing, which is a projected system so that the display displays stuff that it's getting from the smartphone. That makes a lot more sense.
That also means that it's more updatable in the sense that whatever your phone is at that minute, you can project it and use it.
It's casting to the screen in your car, basically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a little Chromecast in the screen. So expect announcements there and demonstrations for the new GAL, the Google Auto Link. We'll also, these are rumors, also perhaps see Google Fit. Google has tried before to provide a database of health information and ended that a couple of years ago now. Microsoft still maintains something, and of course, Apple has announced it's going to do HealthKit with a health app. Google Fit, according to the rumor in Forbes, will also be launched at Google I.O. It will aggregate, this is just like HealthKit, through open APIs, instruction sets that allow apps to share information. We'll also announce partnerships with wearable device makers. And do things like not only measure steps, but also heart rate. It's just, all of this is a me too. I'm wearing the new Samsung Gear 2 watch. We finally got a sample of this. And they've really, this is much nicer than the original Galaxy Gear. The camera is built into the bezel now instead of being a big protrudence, little pimple on the band. You can actually talk to it. You can do S voice commands. You can talk on the phone with it, I think. Do you think we'll see watches next week, right?
Yeah.
Not a Google watch.
I think it's going to be the LG. The rumor is that it's the Guatch. It's the LG G watch.
Insiders call it, the Guatch?
But it can't be another watch that only works with two phones.
I want to see the Moto 360.
Right, that's the round one. So I think the one that they're giving away is the square one. That's
so
the
you guatch, guys are going to be wearing a guatch when we come.
Guatch. Yeah. I was saying on AA last night with Google Fit. You know what I'm hoping to see at I/O next week is Runkeeper and Fitbit. You know, up on stage saying we have integrated our apps with Google Fit and like these are the things that made it so much better, right? Because those apps have been out for so long and they know so much. And I hope that it's about that. I hope that it's about Google's platform sort of helping them out versus trying to replace them.
Here's the question. If they do that, does it automatically get on the Guatch or does the Guatch have to support it? In other words, is the Guatch like we were talking about with the auto stuff? Is the Guatch just a... Do we cast to the Guatch, or is the Guatch its own thing with its own CPU and all of that stuff? Seems like that would be a good way to do that, to put less intelligence in the watch itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, my Fitbit broke and so I wound up just switching, running the Fitbit Android app and then switching it to just the device,
right.
Have the device count
right.
My steps.
Right.
But my numbers were a lot lower because there's times that I'm walking around the house and I don't have my phone in my pocket, right? Because it's in the other room. But with a watch, I'm never going to take that off. So I'm hoping to see a Fitbit or a Fitbit Lite, maybe Runkeeper, which is another great app. You know, have the Android Wear app that's constantly tracking, and also using Google Fit to tell me when I've, you know, whatever, reached my step goal for that day or burned so many calories. I hope that those integrations, the Google Fit, you know, perfectly aligns with Android Wear.
I do like it that you can talk to your, you can say, okay, Google, to your watch, just as I do now to my phone, and it will go, what? And you can do that. It's probably got Google Now cards. But you come to think of it, they can't make it just cast to the watch because you probably have the expectation that even if your phone's not nearby, your watch still works, still measures steps, still does stuff.
Yep.
Okay. So you can't do that. The watch does have to have smarts and a battery and all that stuff. All right.
Well, I mean, I have my, I have the, what's it called?
Your watch. Thing. What is that?
Oh, this is the
it's pretty. What does that do?
It's a Fitbit kind of thing, but it's not a Fitbit. I lost my Fitbit, and so I had this one.
This is such it's a really Me Too nice. Category.
Shine.
Isn't it?
It's the Shine.
Shine.
The Shine.
And this has I have a Basis watch. This thing. Oh yeah, that's the one. Okay, we did look at that. There's some. Very they nice. Use watch batteries, so you don't have to charge them.
Right.
But it does a lot less as a result. It doesn't have a screen, for instance.
Well, it has little lights that go around.
Yeah, Mike Elgin reviewed the Shine on Before You Buy
I tried
it.
To use the Fitbit as a watch instead of my watch, and you know, it was like saying, "Okay, Google, what time is it?" You know, I just looked at this watch, and there it is. The time's right
I'm
there.
I'm so skeptical on this category. I really am. Just skeptical.
But I can't wait to get it on my wrist. I'll be honest.
I have worn everything there is, and they're all just glorified pedometers. This, I mean, really.
Which, by the way, your phone is anyway.
It is anyway. As Gina pointed out, you just carry the phone around. It measures all your steps. Does just as well.
I feel like with Google Now, this is me totally being a fangirl, by the way. But I feel like with Google Now behind Android Wear and like Android Wear be like connected to Google Now, I feel like the Google Watch running, you know, or the smartwatch running Android Wear and having the hooks into the, you know, the Google layer is going to be way better than anything we've seen in terms of smartwatches.
I hope you're right.
That's why I'm excited about it.
Canadian court has told Google that they have to take down websites all over the world.
All over the world. Whereas the EU case of the right to be forgotten, they'll only take them down in EU territory. So here is Canada, imperialistic, world-invading Canada, saying that they rule the world, that you have to do this around the whole world.
British Columbia Justice L.A. Fenlon ordered Google to remove websites that have stolen intellectual property from Equus Tech Solutions, used to manufacture competing products. Google had removed Equus Tech links from google.ca, but they wanted more. The judge said, nope. Got to remove them everywhere in the world. I note, the judge wrote, that on the record before me, the injunction would compel Google to take steps in California or the state in which its search engine is controlled and would not therefore direct that steps be taken around the world, but that the effect of the injunction could reach beyond one state is a separate issue. So, in other words, he says you got to take them out of your search index in California, wherever your servers are. Just that's a side effect that it does it all over the world.
Wherever your servers are,
it affects my ability to know something, my right to know. This is leading to a very, very dangerous trend in censorship.
She compared them to an innocent warehouse that Google is an innocent warehouse that has been forbidden from shipping out goods for companies subjected to an injunction. The local order not to ship could also have broader geographical implications. This is an example of a real-world physical analogy that just doesn't work so good.
Doesn't work. Canada, get off our lawn.
It ain't a shipping. It ain't a warehouse.
And so the sense, you know, we have the right to be forgotten decision in Europe. We have this. Joan O'Sara, columnist for the New York Times, defended the right to be forgotten, which I find as a journalist shocking. They shouldn't have nasty things up there. They just shouldn't have yucky things up there. Mm. So what, the New York Times should just have good news?
Yeah,
and then we have news. Joe Scarborough, who went ballistic on Google. There's video up, I think, on the rundown. On the same issue, saying that Google should be forced to take down everything that we don't like. I mean, hello, people. Can we spell free speech anymore?
We get the internet we deserve, and it's rapidly looking like it's not going to be a very good one. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's the change log. Gina Trapani, you're going to have to go to work. I'm sorry. But you lazy person, you. But
thanks, Leo.
I get to take a break.
I there was just chilling, and now you're just. All right.
By the way, I could point my Amazon phone at your painting, and I know exactly who painted it. Like that. just
if it works, it's true.
Wouldn't that be wild if it did?
It would be pretty great. I think this is just like a local Brooklyn artist.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to know actually if it would work.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to talk about Squarespace.com. A better web awaits at the fabulous Squarespace.com. It's the best web hosting ever, plus a fabulous content management system that means you're going to get an incredible website, whether you're a photographer. By the way, they invented exactly what Amazon just put in their phone, this idea of dynamic perspective. If you go to the Squarespace site and you move your mouse around, you notice the background moves or the foreground doesn't. You see? It's just that easy. You can even do it in the web with a little HTML5. All you have to do is go to squarespace.com after you've played with that for a little bit and click the Get Started button. 25 gorgeous templates, all of which are mobile responsive. They all use the latest and greatest technology, web technology. Let me pick one here. Momentum. This is a full bleed, very, very visual. And I noticed this is the trend now with sites, modern sites, big pictures. And then you scroll down and you can see some people who've used this template. And of course, each is unique. And some of them are commerce, like the Portland Press that's using Squarespace.com to sell. It looks like some coffee stuff. Or what is that? What is that? Oh, it's a gallery. I don't know what this is. It's actually kind of fun to go to the websites and see what the different stuff is. Oh, yeah, they sell like these pictures. It's made out of what? Out of wood, wool, and steel. Only in Portland would you make a coffee maker out of wool.
And a mason jar.
This is very Oregonian. But that's a Squarespace site. Here, you can create your site. All they want, your name, your email, and a password for your site. For 2 weeks, you've got the run of the place. You can do all sorts of cool stuff with it. Play with those templates. And you know what? If you decide I don't like this template, you can even import all the content from your existing site. If you don't like the template, change it. And all the content stays there. It just looks different. Even pictures, everything. It's all mobile responsive. It looks great no matter what size screen. They all have commerce, e-commerce built in. If you want to sell something or take donations or do a wedding registry, you can do that. The mobile apps are spectacular. The blog app, which lets you post on your Squarespace site and moderate comments. The metrics app, which is a very nice way of measuring not only your analytics, like how many people visit your page, but also track social followers and so forth. They've got some other stuff, too. The portfolio that synchronizes with the galleries on your Squarespace website. This is really cool. You put this on the iPad. If you're a photographer, you've got a Squarespace site. And the portfolios on your Squarespace site are now beautifully displayed on your iPad. And this is free. This is part of the deal. I just love Squarespace. I want you to, and by the way, yes, Android apps are coming soon. They really are good. And the price is right. They start as low as $8 a month. When you buy an annual plan, that includes the domain name. They'll do the registration for you and hook it all up. You want e-commerce, they've got the best e-commerce solution out there. Just $24 a month. They'll help you get set up with credit cards. You can have shipping information, shipping calculations on your site, label printing via ShipStation, integrated accountings by Xero, so you get inventory controls and all of that. By the way, if you are a competent web developer. You can, of course, use their developer platform to do anything, but you don't need to be, and that's the beauty of it. $8 a month. Get started right now. And if you decide after your two-week free trial that you want to buy, do all I ask is you use the offer code TWIG, TWIG, and you'll get 10% off on your new account. Squarespace.com. Thank them for their support of This Week in Google. And now, play the drum slowly. It's time for the changelog.
The Google
Changelog. Here's Gina Trapani with the latest.
It's the lull before the I.O. storm, so this changelog is relatively short. I've got a couple of things. Google Knowledge Graph adds phone numbers with Hangout integration to your search results. So if you search for your local restaurant, a bar, a business, Google will show you in the Knowledge Graph the top of your search results, a big phone number. You click on it, and it'll initialize a call via Hangouts. I'll tell you the truth. I tried it with a couple of pretty famous restaurants here in New York City. It didn't always work. Sometimes it happened. I got the sort of listing in the Knowledge Graph on the right side, and the number there was clickable. But really nice if you want to make a reservation or ask if, you know, what time they're open. Kind of nice hookup. And I hope that this means that at I.O. we're going to hear a little bit more about Hangouts and voice and kind of really unifying all the messaging apps together. Waze got an update. I thought this would make Jeff really happy.
I love this one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Waze is updated for Android and iOS, the mobile apps, with a new UI and enhanced location sharing features. So the new Waze update, it now syncs your phone's contact lists with your Waze friends. And now you can share your driving routes with multiple friends at a time. And the people that you share your drive with can track your progress and will be provided with a real-time ETA. We should probably use this next week when we're driving up to Petaluma to do
Love
Twig. That'll really be helpful. Yeah, yeah. Last one.
Don't forget to add in the time for me getting out of the car and puking before we get on the bridge.
Come on.
We have to get ways to send, you know, scared emoticons when we're on the bridge. your Google account settings area has a new section called Google account history. So if you go to google.com/settings/account history, or you just click on the account history tab, you'll be able to kind of control your history tracking. So you can pause. It's interesting they call it pause. You can pause your search history tracking, location history tracking, and your YouTube history of things that you've watched or you haven't. And what's neat about this doesn't sound like much, right? But what's neat about this new tab is that this page, first of all, is beautifully designed. And when you do click pause, you get a little pop out. It grays out the thing, and you get a little pop up saying, hey, if you pause your, say, search history tracking, Google Now is going to be a lot less useful. You know, you, these are some of the features that you'll be missing. I really like that, because I feel like Google does not only needs to give users the ability to control what information Google logs and shares across apps, like Now to Gmail to Calendar, et cetera, but I think it's a really good way to communicate, like, hey, exactly. You know, this is what you get. Google Now is this smart because this is on, and if it's off, then these are the features that you won't get. I also think it's interesting that pause was the word that they chose instead of stop or don't do this, you know, because pause implies that you're going to start it again, right? So it's like gentle coercion.
We're just pausing, but we're not stopping.
Just pausing. Yes. Yeah, just pausing for now. But this is the kind of thing I'd love to see for Android app permissions, right? Like, this is, like, you know, which are long and complex and complicated. I just would love to see, like, hey, if I revoke this one permission, or if I, you know, you want this one permission for what reasons? What features aren't I going to get? Anyway, that's all I got for today for the changelog. Next week, the entire episode is going to be a changelog. I'm very excited.
Ooh, can't wait. That's the changelog. Thank you, Gina Schipani.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll just do a couple other stories because I want to get you out of here for bedtime. Adobe, at the same time as Amazon was having its event, Adobe had an event call to upgrade the Creative Cloud. I don't know if there are a lot of big stories out of that. They are going to continue a promotion that I've took advantage of that lets you get, for as a photographer, $10 a month access to Lightroom and Photoshop, the two things photographers use the most. I got that as an upgrader to from an earlier version or something, but now they're going to make that permanent. If you have never had a Photoshop license, $10 a month You get a Lightroom and Photoshop. Adding some features to the iPad app for Lightroom, which is really a spectacular app and a very nice adjunct if you use Lightroom on the desktop. They've added some new apps, Ink and Slide. Are those apps or is there actual physical pen and a ruler?
Well, there's a physical pen that's pressure sensitive and does neat stuff. And then the neat thing about the ruler is when you set it down and then you just draw next to it, it'll draw the line where it shows you're drawing the line. So you could use it for more drafting kinds of things.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. There's a video there. It's pretty cool.
What's really interesting is it's $200. Wow.
I'm still not used to seeing Pogue on Yahoo Tech.
Yeah, David Pogue is weird. Yeah, I know.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Is Lightroom, so when you're like a real photographer, is Lightroom the sort of accepted app that every real photographer
For a while, Apple had a strong competitor with Aperture, but they haven't updated it in years. And so I think most people use Lightroom. It's Apple or Windows, and it's great. And if you use Lightroom, if you take a lot of pictures, Lightroom is fabulous. But you probably also use Photoshop, and if you use Lightroom, you probably want to use the iPad app as well because it allows you to preview your stuff. And they've added now the ability to rank photos and all sorts of stuff, and it syncs up. There it is. That's the pen, which is just, you know, a stylus, traditional stylus. It's the ruler that's interesting. And then you have a new app called – or two new apps called Sketch and Line. All right. Very nice. David's getting a demonstration.
So you draw directly onto the iPad.
So weird. I don't. Okay.
But what we realized was it's digital, so it can do a lot more. If we just have a single button on here, we can choose different shapes. You see, if I click this button, I can switch to.
It's just
going to
scratch your screen up like crazy.
And each of those can be manipulated.
So it's not.
I don't like it. I don't get it. Just use a
compass.
Look
at that. You can be really all kinds of exact.
I guess. So architects use iPads to.
And as we explored further,
well, that's the point, but
we could.
Who knows?
Is this how my kid is going to draw?
I hope not. By the way, iOS only. There's no Android.
There's no Android, which pisses me off now.
There is a root for the Galaxy S5. Thank you, GeoHot. Man, that GeoHot's good. He's released a root tool that's not only the S5, which has been very difficult to root, including the AT&T and Verizon versions of the S5. XDA members took up a collection for a GeoHot of over $18,000.
Wow.
And once he got the money, he created Towel Root.
I like that the button is make it rain and leet.
And if you're running 442 or earlier, you can root with that method, including I'll test it because I have an S4 that I've never been able to root. It's the unlocked S4 using a Samsung processor, which Samsung's managed to lock down pretty well. It's based, as all of these root solutions are, on a kernel vulnerability. Pinkie Pie, the well-known hacker Pinkie Pie, discovered that one. So that's the problem is. Of course, they're going to immediately, now that they know there's a vulnerability, fix it, which means Towel Root won't work anymore. But I do think Google has always said it's you should be able to have the right to root your phone. It's the carriers and manufacturers who've thwarted people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a convenience. There's a new smartphone out of China that comes with a malware pre-installed, saving you time. And
also, the convenient feature, it won't download updates to the security, which is convenient.
Yeah.
So
simplify
you
your life. It's got a spy function on it. It's invisible to the user, cannot be deactivated. maybe they're selling this to jealous husbands. I've seen this before, phones that are have this built-in spy capability. LG says, no, we're not. Google hasn't contacted us about building a Nexus phone. So LG, which built the last two Nexus phones, the 5, 4 and 5, apparently not working on any new phones.
Is there a new Nexus? That's the big question.
I was going to say, that's the question, right? Is there a new Nexus at all? Maybe not.
I don't know.
I hope so.
Wasn't that the rumor we heard that there wouldn't be? And then everybody said no.
Silver.
Android Silver.
Matt Cutts said no. There'll be a Nexus.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's not exactly, but that's what he strongly implied.
Yeah.
That he didn't think.
Yeah.
I want a new Nexus. I'm ready for a new Nexus. I mean, I like this one. This is wonderful. But
I don't know if I believe this story. I'm going to take this with a grain of salt. This comes from a site called Social News Daily. And they are alleging, well, first of all, that the rumor is true that YouTube is going to launch a music service, kind of like Spotify or RDO, ad-supported free streaming music, paid tier on top without ads and offline streaming. Google already does this with Google Music, I might add, but I guess you get video. But according to the Financial Times, about 10% of the music industry has not yet agreed to the terms of the new YouTube service. Many of them are indie labels like XL Recording, whose artists include Adele and the XX, Domino, who represents the Arctic Monkeys, and Franz Ferdinand. It's over money, obviously, but this is the thing I'm not sure I buy. According to Social News Daily, YouTube will begin blocking videos from indie musicians on those labels. If your label does not agree to terms for the YouTube music service, according to this article, Google's going to not let you upload videos at all. Is that possible?
I wanted you to explain this one to me.
I think this is false. I think this is just bogus.
But the story is spread like crazy.
It seems to me Google would have a huge problem if it did that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Sounds highly anti-competitive.
Well, I've got this. The Guardian says, the company's head of content and business operation, Robert Kinsel?
Yeah, Kinsel.
Told the Financial Times that the service, previously rumored to be called YouTube Music Pass, will launch more widely later in the year. His confirmation that YouTube will block videos from artists, from labels.
Kinsel
labels
said this?
That do not sign licensing deals for the new premium tier will be hugely controversial among indie labels, with trade body WIN already filing a complaint to the European Commission.
Maybe it is
about
true.
Negotiating strategy.
But it could be that they are going to block them from the service, but not from uploading to YouTube anywhere. Or if they block them from YouTube everywhere, I think they are going to have a
that is trouble.
Yeah.
While we wish we had 100% success rate, we understand that it is not likely an achievable goal, and therefore it is our responsibility to our users and the industry to launch the enhanced music experience, said Kinkle, claiming that YouTube has signed up labels representing 90% of the music industry.
Right. Wow. Well, we'll watch that with interest. I find that hard to believe. If they do that, they're going to... It's not just going to be the EU that slaps them around.
Yeah, because this is it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. And it's people like Adele, Arctic Monkeys, and Jack White.
Yeah, I think it's
independent labels.
I think it's probably a misinterpretation that he'll block them from the service, but the implication is that Adele would no longer be able to upload a music video to YouTube.
I can't because I can upload a music video.
Right. I think. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, but you're right. Because right. I mean, anybody can. I can upload a music video. I can say, hello, hallelujah.
Right.
And I make a music video, right? And I put it up there. What's to stop anyone else, including Adele, from doing just
what
that?
What it would come down to is if Google had was of sufficient size to for this to be monopoly issue, a restraint of trade issue. If Google can effectively say, well, there's 800 other services they could upload it to. We just don't want them on ours. I guess they could do that. I think Google is at this point big enough. YouTube is at this point big enough that maybe not in Europe, but certainly in the U.S., that would be restraint of trade, I think.
Yeah.
Here's another one that I don't know what to say about this. I guess the best thing to do would be warn people about it. This is a Kickstarter project called iFind. It's a item location tag. They went up a few weeks ago. They asked for $25,000. They've raised nearly $500,000, well over their goal. And I'd love to hear from somebody, but as far as I can tell, there's no way this could physically work. It is a battery-free location tag. They claim that they'll be gathering energy through the air and storing it. There's no battery. It recycles. This is the text on the page at Kickstarter. It recycles electromagnetic energy and stores it in a unique power bank.
Is this the one that Sarah Lacey's site has been going crazy on?
Yeah, I think so. This exciting feature frees you from the trouble of charging batteries or replacing them through the manufacturer. I don't think that's physically possible. I mean, there is RFID, but that wouldn't help you with if you lost your keys. It says sync the tag to your phone and you're all set. The thing is, they've raised a lot of money. Now, I thought Kickstarter had precautions against this kind of thing. But, in fact, I know one of the things Kickstarter requires is a physical prototype. There is none visible. The president of this company, previous job was selling herbal supplements.
Oh.
And they've been very unresponsive in the Q&As. And the thing that really bugs me is this. Look at this paragraph under risks and challenges. It's a short paragraph that says, you know, the main risk is our reliance on outside sources within the supply chain. And if they can't give us these circuits, they don't mention the fact that this is a physical impossibility. That would seem to be a risk. Maybe I'm
also,
wrong.
Also, we're not sure if this will work.
Yeah. We don't have a prototype. We've got a very nice video.
I'm a patron of a Kickstarter to have a perpetual motion machine. What do you mean, Leo?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you participate in this, I just buyer beware. It seems to me unlikely that there is such a thing as a batteryless item location tag. But maybe they've got one. They've not been very responsive in the comments. There's a lot of people in the comments who say, "Hey, what? How does this work?" Blah blah blah. Just a word of warning, and I think maybe a little bit of due diligence on the part of Kickstarter might be indicated at this point. What is their responsibility on this, right?
I can't find the story where Pandora's gone. It's Pandora. Pando Daily. Pando Daily. Jesus, idiot Jarvis.
But if you look at if you just look in the comments, you'll see quite a few people who are saying, what?
I honestly don't think Kickstarter... I don't think that they review any. I mean, they certainly don't review.
Well, they rejected our project.
That's true. Project. They reject projects sometimes. Yeah. Right, right.
And a lot of people say, hey, I have complained to Kickstarter. I've flagged this, but Kickstarter has left it up. Remember, Kickstarter makes a percentage of that $480,000.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong. Is it possible? It seems unlikely that this is a real thing. But there you go. Just a word of warning, and I'll keep looking into it. And yeah, Pando Daily has raised a stink on this. Let's take a break. When we come back, our tool, our tip, our number of the week, Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis, Leo Laporte. Our show today brought to you by our great friends at 99designs, 99designs.com. If you want to know more, this is a community of over 300,000 designers who are sitting there waiting for you to go to 99designs.com and create a design contest. You need a logo for your business? Do you need a new website? Do you need a landing page for your Facebook? Menus, car wraps, business cards. You can get a great designer at 99designs to give you some great designs. In fact, the way it works, and I love this, is you'll set up a design contest, and then designers will go to the contest and will submit suggestions. You can work with them a little bit to refine it. You pick the best design, and you get a great design for a very reasonable price. It's also a great way to kind of improve your website, to do a, you know, find out if your website design is really good UI. No, people shouldn't be doing their own design. If you're not a designer, you should not be doing it. To date, there have been 310,000 contests and $77 million paid out. Last month, $2.2 million alone. But that's a big jump from the month before. I think they doubled the amount of payouts since last month. Go to the website 99designs.com/twig, and you'll get a $99 power pack of savings absolutely free just because you heard about it on This Week in Google. What is the power pack? Well, you get more designer time and attention. They'll bold and highlight and feature your design project in 99designs Marketplace. You'll get nearly twice as many designs. Find out why over 300,000 designers are happily waiting for your work at 99designs.com. And you'll be very pleased at the pricing. Very affordable. If you do a logo design there, they also have, you can do a whole kit, a package of identity package, including business cards and stationery and all of that. I think that's a great deal. 99designs.com/twig. Gina Trapani's tip of the week.
Google is showing step-by-step instructions in search results right now, which is kind of interesting. Eating life hackers lunch a little bit. If you search for something like iCloud Restore or how to poach an egg, in the knowledge graph, Google will actually show step-by-step instructions. Yeah, and you can also do this for, you know, Google-related questions. So if you Google Gmail export contacts, you'll see step-by-step instructions.
How are they doing
that? I mean, yeah. For something like iCloud Restore, where it's clearly, you know, a step-by-step instructions from the Apple support pages, they must be parsing the markup and figuring out. As far as I know, there aren't semantic tags for step-by-step instructions, but Google's
this
doing a pretty
cool.
good job. Yeah,
they give an example, what is the distance to Mars? And they say sometimes we're close to Mars, other times we're distance. The minimum distance is this. The farther, so there's even teaching here. I just really like that.
Yeah.
That's really great. This is like, well, you know, I got to figure kids nowadays, when they're doing their homework, do Google searches.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Chris says,
and,
yep.
You know,
what year are you? You're a junior? He's a rising junior, high school junior. He says, when I said, kids today, you do Google searches. He raised his thumb, said, thumbs up.
Yes.
How to take a screenshot. This is great. Now, it looks like there's iMore. It looks like they're actually, there must be, so there's no semantic markup for these are instructions.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe so.
They must understand it somehow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they're just looking for, you know, OLLIs, ordered lists. I don't know how they're doing it, but
it's
pretty cool. And I tried a few that I would have thought would have had answers and don't. Maybe they whitelisted sites. I'm not sure. But pretty nice.
How to cook fluffy, tasty quinoa. Well, man, that's good. That's a good search. How do you cook quinoa? Chad, do you really want to know that?
Put in how do you get a date?
How do you get a date?
How do you pronounce quinoa?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, here's how to get a date. Oh, no, nothing.
That gives you 10 dating sites.
Yeah.
Well, there's some things they just don't want to touch.
I'm surprised that they don't take WikiHow and show that. Oh, geez.
How to get a wife and have a good life. That is from WikiHow.
Man, they didn't give me the step by step. I need it all spelled out.
Isn't Wiki?
How do you get a job?
Isn't WikiHow kind of demand media? Kind of, sort of.
But they don't look at the search results. They want everyone to
just contribute everything because it's a wiki.
Right.
Jeff, you're a number of the week.
Number of the week. Well, I want to mention before I do, I just as an aside, I recommend I commend to your reading Woz's essay, open letter in The Atlantic to the FCC for holding on an open net.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. That was all. It was great.
Yeah, it was in our rundown. I didn't get around to it.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to mention it.
Yeah, if you search for Wozniak in The Atlantic, you can tell he wrote it himself. I can hear his voice as I read it.
Can you ever? So that I didn't know that he ran one of the first dialogue jokes.
Yeah,
that
was sure did.
Anyway.
Worst jokes ever. Mostly Polish jokes.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No, because he's Polish, so it's okay.
They're allowed to.
They're allowed to.
So I guess I'll use this number. Garmin, remember them? Slightly disrupted company. They've released a $1.99 navigation app. On sale now for
It used to be $100, didn't it?
Oh, slightly disrupted.
Whoops. Now you get the encyclopedia for 55 cents in a box top.
And they still charge you more if you want live traffic. Well, hello.
Oh, man.
One word. Waze.
Yeah, don't you know there's a free solution? I do think that Google Maps, I used Google Maps for navigation, and we had talked about it in the changelog how they now give you better information about when you're getting off, you know, taking an exit and stuff like that. So the turn-by-turn is so much better than Garmin's ever was. Isn't it great?
Yeah, like what lane you're supposed to be in.
Yeah, it says you're going to take the two left lanes, you know, both of them turn off. It's just so much better.
It'll even say second from the right or second from the left. I was driving down San Francisco. It saved my butt.
Yeah.
Because it said, normally it says turn left.
It's like a human does it.
second from the left.
Right.
Because it put me in the perfect lane to change onto the next street I had to take. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
So your number is $1.99?
$1.99, that's my number.
You almost pity Garmin on this one.
You do.
It's still $2 too expensive.
Exactly. There was a Jill Lepore, I think her name is.
Yeah, Jill Lepore. Yeah.
Wrote this smash on Clay Christensen and disruption and just tried to cut apart his entire theory of disruption.
Right.
And Mark Andreessen has come back and answered it really well, I think. Why did I start on that?
We've had Clay Christensen on the triangulation, actually. We talked about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my device is this. It is the Galaxy Gear 2. I was talking about it earlier. I have a very attractive clock face on it, which makes it a little bit more palatable. It is touch. You can talk to it. You can do S voice. You can send texts by talking to it. It does exercise, heart rate monitoring.
Heart rate from a watch without the chest thing?
Yeah, it's got little.
That's a big deal.
I have a couple of watches that do that. It's got a little camera in the back. I don't know. You can't really see it, but there's a little meter in there. You have to sit still. It doesn't do it while you're running.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, what good is that? They've simplified, there used to be the camera was a little pimple on the band. Now it's nicely recessed into the bezel. You can dial the phone direct from it, and you can even talk into it and, do a Dick Tracy and hold it up to your ear. So, but that's the good stuff. The negative is $300. It only works with Samsung Galaxy devices. I had to run out and find my Note 3, which I had buried in a pile of stuff so I could set it up. I'll give a full review on Before You Buy next Tuesday, but I just feel like this is such a crowded category. This is nice. It's nice. It's okay, but it's not.
All right. Is there any?
Nothing.
Let's say Google has a watch. What's your dream watch?
I'm looking at that Moto 360. I like the round face, but it looks really thick. As we all saw the Daily Show's mocking of the Google Glass Explorers.
Oh, that's right.
And the reporter kept saying, you could just pull the phone out of your pocket and look at it. Why do you need to wear that on your head? What did you think of that, Jeff?
I thought it was just old jokes.
Yeah.
I think,
But they're
if you're
right
on those shows.
They're ripe for mockage.
They are, and they were too serious, and that's what they wanted.
One of the guys said, "Hey, the guy who had his glass stolen in the Mission District, he said, hey, I knew what I was in for. They kind of told us. They interviewed us for 2.5 hours, showed like 30 seconds of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what the heck?
It was funny.
It's funny.
It was funny. The better comic moment of the week, I think, was the FCC chairman answering John Oliver and John Oliver answering in return. The dingo. Have you seen this?
No, because John Oliver did a fabulous discussion of net neutrality in which he likened having Tom Wheeler and the FCC regulate the cable industry, likened it to having a dingo watch your baby.
Right. So Chad, if you would search for John Oliver FCC dingo.
There we go. So...
Okay, really, this is short.
He responded
a couple of weeks ago. We did a piece about net neutrality, and there was a moment in it where we pointed out that Tom Wheeler, the chair of the FCC, which is tasked with regulating cable companies, was previously a lobbyist for the cable industry. Something of a conflict of interest that we summarized thusly: that is the equivalent of needing a babysitter and hiring a dingo. It's a little offensive to Australia's favourite baby-eating animal, but needs much for the joke. And you're probably wondering why I'm playing it again now. Well, on Friday, the FCC held an open meeting, and this happened.
I'm just wondering if you watched the John Oliver segment about net neutrality and what you thought about it.
He said snap, right?
Yeah, he could use pretty words.
So... what did he think?
I think that it represents the high level of interest that exists in the topic in the country. And that's good.
It's good. I am not a dingo.
Wait, you're going.
You know, I mean, I would like to state for the record that I'm not a dingo.
He actually said it.
Yes.
First, wow. And second, we never said you were a dingo.
Like.
We said you were like a dingo. Yeah,
similarly.
But now, you're denying it so strenuously, I'm honestly starting to wonder whether you are actually a dingo after all. He even tried to throw us off the scent by pretending not to know what a dingo even is.
I had to go look it up. It's a feral, wild animal in Australia.
Here's the thing. That's exactly the kind of thing a dingo would say if he didn't want anyone to know he was a dingo. I mean, just look at a split screen right now. The likeness is uncanny. Think about it. If you shave the one on the left, would it not look a little like the guy on the right? Because now I have lots more questions, Wheeler, such as, have you, at any time, ever consumed a swamp wallaby for its nutrients? You probably have, you dingo. What's your answer to that?
I'm not a dingo.
You keep saying that. But now the burden of proof is on you. Unless you can produce an official document verified by a licensed zoologist, certifying that you are, in fact, not a 100% talking dingo, I don't think you can complain if Americans refuse to leave you alone in rooms with their babies.
You gotta go back and see the full net neutrality clip, because it really, it is probably the best description of why we're worried about the FCC. And I should mention that Patrick Leahy has come back and proposed a bill that would prohibit fast lane prioritization.
Chances of passing, God knows, but at least we have legislation on to push it. And I want a T-shirt, Leo, that says, a dingo ate my internet.
Dingo ate my bandwidth. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this edition of This Week in Google. That is Jeff Jarvis, who is at the City University of New York. He is a professor of journalism there. Very prestigious, very highly esteemed. Also the author of Public Parts and a world traveler. We will be here next week doing Twig. He might be a little green instead of pink, but otherwise he'll be here. Thank you, Jeff. Great to have you.
Thank you.
And, of course, Gina Trapani, who will be here next week as well, has 1 minute to put down, Etta. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Hey, you said 4 o'clock.
I did. Thank you very much. I'm excited.
Sign up today. Wonderful app. We all love it. Thank you for being here. We do This Week in Google. Normal time, when we don't have an Amazon announcement at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time, that's 2000 UTC on twit.tv Wednesdays. Tune in live if you can't. On-demand audio and video available after the fact at twit.tv/twig. And wherever you get your casts, get it, listen to it, subscribe, get it every day. It's the best. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twig.